Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 15, Texts 11 to 14. 14 is up on the board. I'll read 11 to 13. Thereafter, seeing Vishwaroop, a grown-up youth, Jagannath Mishra wanted to find a girl and arrange a marriage ceremony for him. Hearing of this, Vishwaroop immediately left home and went away to accept sannyas and traveled from one place of pilgrimage to another. When Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra heard of the departure of their eldest son, Vishwaroop, they were very unhappy, but Lord Chaitanya tried to console them. Sounds familiar? A little bit. Text 14. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear mother and father, the Lord said, it is very good that Vishwaroop has accepted the sannyas order. For thus he has delivered both his father's family and his mother's family. Purport. It is sometimes said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not approve of the acceptance of the sannyas order in this Kali Yuga, because in the Shastra it is said, Ashvamedham Gavalambham Sannyasam Palapaitrikam Devarena Sutotpattim Kalau Pancha Vivarjayet. In this Kali Yuga, the performance of the Ashvamedha Yajna or Gomedha Yajna, sacrifices in which a horse or cow is offered, should be avoided, as should the acceptance of sannyas, the renounced order of life. Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Krishna Janma Khanda, Chapter 185, Text 180. Nevertheless, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted sannyas and approved of the sannyas of his elder brother, Vishwaroop. It is clearly said here, Bhala hailo, Vishwaroopa sannyasa korilo, pitrikulo matrikulo dui uddharilo. Therefore, should it be thought that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made statements that are contradictory? No, actually he did not. It is recommended that one accept sannyas to dedicate his life for the service of the Lord, and one must take that kind of sannyas, for by accepting such sannyas, one renders the best service to both his paternal and maternal families. But one should not accept the sannyas order of the Mayavad school, which has practically no meaning. We find many Mayavadi sannyasis simply loitering in the street, thinking themselves Brahman or Narayan, and spending all day and night begging so they can fill their hungry bellies. Mayavadi sannyasis have become so degraded that there is a section of them who eat everything just like dogs and hogs. It is such degraded sannyas that is prohibited in this age. Actually, Srila Shankaracharya's principles for the acceptance of sannyas were very strict. But later, the so-called Mayavadi sannyasis became degraded because of their false philosophy, which propounds that by accepting sannyas, one becomes Narayana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that kind of sannyas. But the acceptance of sannyas is one of the items of the Varnashrama Dharma. How then can it be rejected? Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatra Dharana Paraha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be back here again, almost after a year. And to be amongst all the wonderful devotees here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Today we have in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita discussions on sannyas. This is the Adilila chapter 15, the Lord's Pauganda Lila. Pauganda means the age of 6 to 10. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was known as Nimai at that time, had an older brother, Vishwaroop. When Vishwaroop came of age, and it wasn't much in those days, boys and girls got married really early in those days. And so when Vishwaroop came of age, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, his parents, started looking out for a suitable girl for him to get married to. And hearing of this, Vishwaroop escaped and he took sannyas. And naturally, Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra were distraught with grief. It's there to some degree all over the world, but especially in the Eastern world and particularly in India, the family attachment is very strong. So even though people are very religious by nature, and they may even be devotees, as were Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, but they become very, very sad and sorry when their son takes to the renounced order of life. And even those in ISKCON who have become brahmacharis, because many times people don't know the difference between a brahmachari and a sannyasi. So even if someone leaves home to be a brahmachari, all hell breaks loose at home. And there's a lot of emotional blackmail, there's tears and there's threats and there's all sorts of things that go on, kidnapping sometimes. It happens in our ISKCON temples many times. So that's the nature of family attachment in this world and the perils of taking sannyas for those who dare to do so. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually pacifies and consoles his parents. So every time there's a brahmachari who leaves home and there's trouble at home, my first thing I ask him is, do you have a brother at home? He say, yes. Does he support your decision? Yes. Good. Go for it. So you tell him to console your parents. So tell him that I'll look after you so you can carry on. That happens often. Sometimes, however, there's an only son and then it becomes more difficult. Anyway, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified his mother and father, and he approved of the sannyas taken by his older brother Vishwaroop. Bhala hila Vishwaroopa sannyasa karila. It's good that Vishwaroop has taken sannyas. Matrikula pitrikula dui uddharila. So he is, by this act of his taking sannyas, he has delivered both families from the mother's side and the father's side, because that is what the Shastras say. So Srila Prabhupada begins his purport by mentioning how some people wrongly think that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not approve of sannyas in this age of Kali. And because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time quoted this verse, which is also cited here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, Ashvamedham Gavalambham Sanyasam Palapaitrikam Devarena Sutotpattim Kalopancha Vivarjayet. This is a verse from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana in which it is said that five kinds of things are prohibited in this age of Kali. Ashvamedha, sacrifice of a horse at a yagya. Gavalambham, sacrifice of a cow. Gava means a cow. Sannyasa, the taking of the renounced order of life. Palapaitrikam, to offer meat to the departed ancestors, forefathers, in the Shraddha ceremony. Devarena sutotpattim. Devar is the husband's brother. So to conceive of a child, if the brother dies, then in the Vedic culture it was seen that the older brother would conceive a child in the wife of the deceased younger brother. So that was permitted in those days in order to perpetuate the family lineage. Like Vyasadeva, for example, he did so being the son of Satyavati. So he was called on to... So the others were brothers of sorts to him, Vichitravirya, Chitrangada. So that was an accepted custom in those days. But in Kali Yuga, it's prohibited. Kalau pancha vivarjayet. So these five things are prohibited. So generally, those who object to the idea of taking sannyas in Kali Yuga cite this verse. And they mention that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally quoted this verse. Now, it is to be noted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cited this verse when he was discussing the topic of the slaughter of cows that goes on in the modern age. And he was in conversation with Chand Kazi. and they were having a discussion, and the Chand Kazi mentioned that even in your scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, there is the concept of killing of animals in sacrifice, and he mentioned specifically cows. It is in that context that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cites this verse to explain how such brahmanas don't exist in this day and age, where a cow is not actually killed, but is brought back to life, given a fresh, new, youthful body. Nowadays, Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport elsewhere that people do medical experiments on animals and they kill them. They don't bring them back to life. But the brahmanas in those days were so powerful that they could actually bring the sacrificed animal back to life. So that wasn't really cow killing or horse killing as was practiced in those days. But because in Kali Yuga these things are not possible, they are prohibited. So the context was cow killing. It wasn't sannyas. And incidentally, it also happens that in the same Brahma Vaivarta Puran, where this verse is mentioned, the taking of sannyas is also spoken about. So naturally, we understand that it is not sannyas per se that is prohibited. And as Prabhupada mentions in the last line of this purport itself, the acceptance of sannyas is one of the items of Varnashrama Dharma. How then can it be rejected? So that's the first reason to say that sannyas can be taken in Kali Yuga. Because after all, there is no injunction that says that Varnashram Dharma is abolished in Kali Yuga. And since the taking of sannyas is part of Varnashrama Dharma, it is an accepted and acceptable practice. The second thing that Prabhupada mentions here in the earlier part of the purport is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took sannyas. And he took sannyas after this. So he mentioned this verse in his conversation with Chand Kazi, and after some years, when he was 24 years of age, he himself took sannyas. So what does that mean? It means that he naturally approves of taking sannyas. Sometimes it is also said that in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we don't have Tridanda sannyas, so we don't have the acceptance of sannyas, and there were only Paramahamsa Babaji's, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and many of the others who came to Vrindavan to stay. They were Babaji's, Paramahamsa Babaji's, which was beyond the Varnashrama system. So they did not formally accept the saffron cloth. There was only white. And they didn't wear the regular the paraphernalia of a sannyasi. But Srila Prabhupada mentions again in another purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we are not Vaishnavas, he said, very interestingly. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. We are not Vaishnavas. He meant it in the sense that the term Vaishnava means, truly speaking, a Paramahamsa Vaishnava, one who is really an exalted soul. So he said, we are simply trying to be servants of Vaishnavas. Therefore, we take sannyas to show that we are servants of Vaishnava, because Vaishnava is Paramahamsa, and the sannyas is within the Varnashrama system, that is within material consideration, Prabhupada says. So the taking of sannyas by Vaishnavas is not an expression of pride or arrogance, that one is superior to others, one is more renounced than others. Rather, it is an expression of humility, it is an expression of one's acceptance of the fact that one is a servant of the Vaishnavas. So this is a very interesting understanding that is given by Srila Prabhupada in his purports. While it is true that many of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Paramahamsa Babaji Diksha, It is also a fact, and Srila Prabhupada states this in his purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that not only did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take saffron cloth, he took sannyas, but even his own guru, Ishwara Puri, was a sannyasi. His param guru, Madhavendra Puri, was a sannyasi. His very close associate, Gadadhar Pandit, took Tridanda sannyas, Vaishnava sannyas. And also Prabodhananda Saraswati. And Prabodhananda Saraswati gave sannyas to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. Gopal Bhatta Goswami also accepted the Tridanda sannyas, the Vaishnava sannyas. And there were many others in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's entourage, his associates who took sannyas, like Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri, Vishnu Puri, Ranga Puri, and many others. So this is the second point in defense of sannyas. The third point is that generally in Kali Yuga, it is very hard for people to follow the rules and regulations of the sannyas order, and therefore it is discouraged. But if someone is able to follow, then there is no harm in taking sannyas. Srila Prabhupada mentions in another place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it is not that sannyas itself is prohibited. Then how do we see this particular verse from the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, in which sannyas is mentioned as one of the five things that are prohibited in this age of Kali? Srila Prabhupada explains, it is karma sannyas that is prohibited, not Vaishnava sannyas. Vaishnava sannyas, Prabhupada says, is devotion. Vaishnava sannyas is bhakti, and we'll come to that shortly. But it is karma sannyas that is prohibited. So what is karma sannyas? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has cited the Brahma Vaivarta, the Padma Puran, to explain that there are three kinds of sannyas. One is called the Veda sannyas, second is called the Jnana sannyas, and the third is called Veda sannyas. Karma sannyas, I beg your pardon. So there's Veda sannyas, Jnana sannyas, Karma sannyas. And roughly, the three correspond to the three sections of the Vedas. As we all know, Veda is knowledge. It's one. But there are many texts, many scriptures in the Vedas, in the house of the Vedas, so to speak. And there's an astonishingly wide variety of injunctions in these different scriptures. And why is that so? That is because there are people of different mindsets and mentalities and propensities and qualifications, adhikar, eligibility. And for each of them, there are certain prescribed injunctions to enable them to progress in their spiritual life according to the kind of situation they are in at that time. So there are those who have a very strong fruitive mentality. They want to utilize the injunctions of the religious scriptures for making material progress. At least they're better than those who try to whimsically enjoy sense gratification. So for such people, there are scriptures called the Karmakanda scriptures. So they give a lot of injunctions that involve worship of the demigods, performing yajnas and sacrifices and so on, by which they get their material desires fulfilled. But they are following a certain authorized Vedic process. So at least they will start making advancement gradually, step by step. Then there are those people who have transcended the fruitive mentality, and they understand the futility of trying to enjoy this world. They have realized that there's something higher. We must aspire for a spiritual goal. And their conception of the absolute truth generally is that the absolute truth is impersonal light, spiritual light. And then they become enamored and captivated by that dazzling spiritual light, and they want to become one with that light. So for such people who are inclined towards the performance of very strong austerities and so on, there are the Jnana Kanda scriptures. Certain Upanishads and the Vedanta and so on. They like to study these scriptures and perform a lot of austerities. And their ultimate goal is to become one with Brahman. And then there is the Upasana Kanda for those who are the most fortunate, who accept that the Supreme Absolute Truth is actually a transcendental person, Krishna or Vishnu, and to surrender to Him and become His pure devotee is actually the perfection of life. So that there are those who are inclined towards the devotional service of the Lord, and for them we have these bhakti scriptures, the topmost amongst which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, corresponding to these three are actually the three types of sannyas. So, there is karma sannyas for those who are in the karma kanda path. Now, this verse from the Brahma Vaivarta Purana that prohibits five things. Now, if you notice, apart from of sannyas, if you look at the other four things, they all pertain to karma kanda, the path of karma. Performing sacrifices, fruitive sacrifices for material benefit. Ashwamedha Yajna, Gomedha Yajna, the performance of Shraddha, and wanting to generate offspring to discharge the debt to the ancestors. So this is all part of Karma Kanda, the Karma Marga, path of karma, fruitive activity. Therefore it stands to reason that the sannyas that is mentioned here as a fifth element of item of those things that are prohibited also will be within the same category. In other words, this sannyas that is spoken of here is when people become old within the varnashrama system, and out of frustration with life, out of dejection with life, out of maybe just the idea that it's to be done, it's the system to do it, they take sannyas merely because they're old, even though they do not have the requisite spiritual knowledge or understanding of what it means to take sannyas. They don't have that qualification or eligibility to take sannyas, but they still take it. So that is called karma sannyas. So it is this sannyas that is actually prohibited in this age. The natural taking of sannyas with age, when there is no qualification. In the earlier days, such things were possible, but not anymore, because such sannyas would then not be appropriate. But, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, Jnana sannyas and the other Veda sannyas are acceptable. Veda sannyas means bhakti sannyas. So jnana sannyas are for those people who are inclined towards the impersonal Brahman, who want to merge into that. And the bhakti sannyas is for those who are Vaishnavas. So these two are permitted. Now, if these two are permitted, then why does Srila Prabhupada speak so strongly about the Mayavad sannyasis here? And he criticizes them very strongly here. Let me repeat a portion of that purport. But one should not accept the sannyas order of the Mayavad school, which has practically no meaning. We find many Mayavadi sannyasis simply loitering in the street, thinking themselves Brahman or Narayana, and spending all day and night begging so they can fill their hungry bellies. Mayavadi sannyasis have become so degraded that there is a section of them who eat everything just like dogs and hogs. It is such degraded sannyas that is prohibited in this age. So that's the second type of sannyas that is prohibited. The first one is karma sannyas, and the second one is Mayavad sannyas. By Mayavad sannyas, Prabhupada means this, which I just read out. Generally, there is a feeling amongst these people that when they take sannyas, they become Narayana. Narayana is Vishnu or Krishna. And they cite a verse that says, Danda Grahana Matrena Nara Narayano Bhavet. Danda means the sannyas staff. That once one accepts the danda, we can see Bhakti Rasayan Sagar Maharaj holding the danda here. That's called the staff, the danda. So when one holds the danda, one becomes Narayana. Danda grahana matrena. Grahana means to hold. Just by matrena means just simply by this act of holding the danda, one becomes Narayana. And therefore they address each other as Om Namo Narayana. Oh, I offer my obeisances to you who are Lord Narayan. Of course he's not Narayan. I mentioned last time here one time that when I took sannyas, Prahladananda Maharaj saw me the first time after that and he said, Om Namo Narayan. Of course he was joking. So that is another aspect of the Mayavad sannyas that makes it contemptible. And that is what Srila Prabhupada is criticizing here. In the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, when I used to live there, I noticed that every single day practically, right after the Srimad Bhagavatam class would get over at 9 o'clock, and as the devotees were dispersing, there were two of these Mayavadi sannyasis who would come. And you could say that, see they were Mayavadi sannyasis because of their bright red attire and their thin sticks, and they had the Tripundra, Tiryakpundra. Pundra means the tilak, and we as Vaishnavas, we accept the Urdhva Pundra. Urdhva means upward. So our tilak is upwards. So that is the acceptable tilak. But those who are Shaivas, Mayavads, Mayavadis, they have the Tripundra, the three lines that are drawn across the forehead. So I could understand that these were Mayavadi sannyasis. And every day, curiously enough, they used to stand before Krishna Balaram with their danda and they would do this, you know, and they would mutter something. So for some days I held back my curiosity. Finally I could bear it no more. So I went up after the class and approached them and asked them, why do you do this? What is this that you do? You know, it's like in India it's very common. People chant slogans when they demonstrate, you know, some political demonstration or something, they raise their hand and they do. So, you know, what are you doing in front of Krishna Balaram like this, you know, with your stick? So they said, we are saying to Krishna Balaram, I am you, I am you, I am you. We are the same, we are the same. Tatvam asi. I am that, I am that. That is also part of their sannyas mantra in Mayavadi. They say, Tattvamasi, I am that. Interestingly, Murari Gupta, one of the associates, close associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave a slightly different tweak to this Tattvamasi. The Mayavadis say, I am that, or I am him. But Murari Gupta said, Vaishnavas think, I am his. Yes, so for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was right to say, I am his, because he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Say, I am Krishna's. But when Vaishnavas take sannyas in the Gaudiya line, we are actually saying, I am Srimati Radharani's. That is how the sannyas mantra goes. Because we are following in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani to serve. So in any case, that's an incidental point. So this is the kind of sannyas that has been criticized here by Srila Prabhupada. So then what is Jnana sannyas? How is it different from Mayavad sannyas? And in the very next line of the purport here, Prabhupada clarifies that. He says, actually, Srila Shankaracharya's principles for the acceptance of sannyas were very strict. Which means, Prabhupada says, it's okay. Even though we differ with the philosophical conclusion, but from the Vedic point of view, it's an acceptable thing to do. But later, the so-called Mayavadi sannyasis became degraded because of their false philosophy, which propounds that by accepting sannyas, one becomes Narayana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that kind of sannyas. So this is the distinction between Jnana Sannyas and Mayavad Sannyas. So Jnana Sannyas is permitted, although we don't accept it, we don't approve of it, we don't agree with it, we have strong philosophical differences with it, but it's there as part of the Vedic system. But this Mayavad Sannyas that Prabhupada mentions the purport is completely condemned. Then that leaves us with the Veda Sannyas or the Vidvat Sannyas or the Bhakti Sannyas, the Vaishnava Sannyas. Now that is real Sannyas, according to the Shastra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Sannyas from Keshav Bharati, Keshav Bharati was actually an Ekadandi Sannyasi. Now, in the Jnana Sannyas, the path of Jnana Sannyas, they have one stick. Ek means one, danda means the stick. So they are called Ekadandi Sannyasis because their staff is just one stick. It signifies unity with the Absolute Truth, oneness with the Absolute. I am Aham Brahmasmi. I am one with Brahman. Of course, as Vaishnavas, we have a different understanding of that. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am Brahma. I am Spirit in quality, not in quantity, not in magnitude. It doesn't say Aham Para Brahmasmi, that I am the Supreme Brahman. It says, I am Brahma. I am Spirit. I am one in quality with the Supreme. Excuse me. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, his sannyas guru Keshav Bharati was an Ekadandi sannyasi. And many times people say, how did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take sannyas from an Ekadandi sannyasi? So his sannyas was also Ekadandi sannyas. It was also Jnana sannyas. So how can we say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Vaishnava sannyas? Actually, there is an esoteric thing that is known only amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and that is that just before or during the sannyas ceremony, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went up to his sannyas guru Keshav Bharati and whispered in his ear, and he said, is this the sannyas mantra that you want to give me? I had it in a dream last night. And he spoke the sannyas mantra. And in that way, this was a Vaishnava sannyas mantra. So in that way, he actually initiated Keshav Bharati Maharaj into Vaishnava sannyas. Keshav Bharati Maharaj had formally taken Ekadandi sannyas. And then by speaking this Vaishnava mantra, he actually initiated him into Vaishnava sannyas because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Lord himself. So he can initiate anyone, anytime, in any way he likes. And then, now that Keshav Bharati Maharaj had become a Vaishnava sannyasi, he initiated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting the same mantra. He initiated the sannyas mantra and he said, now your name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually took Vaishnava sannyas and not Ekadanda sannyas. Although popularly, people outside of the Gaudiya Sampradaya think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ekadanda sannyas. And the second point is that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas, he repeated the famous verse of the Avanti Brahman from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Etam sa asthaya paratmanishtham adhyasitam purvatamer maharshibhihi. Aham tarishyami durantaparam tamo mukundangri nisheva yaiva. This is a famous verse amongst the Vaishnavas because it signifies the spirit of taking sannyas amongst Vaishnavas. The Avanti Brahman took sannyas. Of course, he had numerous events that happened in his life and he was driven to this point. And he says, Aham tarishyami. I shall cross over. Durantaparam tamaha. Tamaha refers to the dark material world, the material world which is an ocean of nescience or darkness of ignorance. Durataya means very difficult to cross over. Durantaparam. It is practically impossible to cross over this dark ocean of material existence. But I shall cross over.
Aham tarishyami duranta param tamaha.
How shall I cross over?
Mukundangri nisheva. Nishevaya eva.
By service nishevaya. To Mukunda Angri. Angri means the feet. So by devotional service rendered to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda or Krishna, I shall cross over this insurmountable ocean of material existence. And does the Avanti Brahman think that he is the first one to do it? Is he the one inaugurating this? No. He says, etam cha asthaya paratmanishtam adhyasitam purvatamer maharshibhihi. Purvatamer refers to the acharyas, the sadhus, who preceded that Avanti Brahman. Adhyasitam, and I shall worship like they did, following in their footsteps. Asthaya paratmanishtha. Paratmanishtha means devotional service, being fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. So I shall cross over this insurmountable ocean of material existence by serving the lotus feet of Mukunda, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas who were fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. This is what this mantra means. So many times this is called the Vaishnava Sannyas mantra actually. But then Srila Prabhupada gives a broader definition to sannyas by saying that anyone whose life exemplifies and embodies this particular verse of the Avanti Brahman is a sannyasi. In other words, if somebody has dedicated his or her life completely to the service of the Supreme Lord and is dedicated to pushing ahead this Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada says, then that person is as good as a sannyasi. So this is a broad understanding. In the first verse of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains or mentions, anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yah sa sannyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyah. He says, one who is detached from the fruits of his action, anashrita karma phalam. Karma phala means the fruits of one's action. Anashrita means one who is not attached to them, one who doesn't take shelter of the fruits of his own actions. So detachment from the fruits of one's actions, number one. Karyam karma karoti yaha. Karyam karma refers to prescribed duties. Karoti means performs. So one who performs his prescribed duties, and even as he does them, he is detached from the fruits of his actions. Such a person is a sannyasi and a yogi. Sa sannyasi cha yogi cha. And not one who doesn't light the fires, that means the sacrificial fires, and not one who is inactive, saying, I'm a sannyasi, I will be inactive. That is not a sannyasi. So here is an even more general definition of sannyas. Srila Prabhupada, however, in his purports and elsewhere, mentions that karyam karma, the prescribed duties for a Vaishnava, are devotional service to Krishna. So if there's any devotee who is thoroughly dedicated to serving Krishna and the Krishna consciousness movement and serves in this spirit, is a sannyasi. So the first verse of the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is also a verse for Vaishnava sannyas, in the sense that Srila Prabhupada explains it. However, Srila Prabhupada says, as a formality, some Vaishnavas accept the saffron cloth and the stick and the sannyas mantra, because that is part of the Varnashrama dharma. And this ashrama is also required in the society. So as a formality, some people will actually take it and then they will try to live up to the standards of that ashram and they will dedicate their life for the service of Krishna. So this is Vaishnava sannyas. And The Vaishnava sannyasis are called Tridandi sannyasis as opposed to the Ekadandi sannyasis of the Jnana Marga. Tridandi, three dandas, three staffs, meaning the body, mind and words are surrendered to or dedicated completely for the service of the Supreme Lord. That is what it means to carry a Tridanda. But actually, from the time of Vishnu Swami, he added a fourth one, which is called the Jiva Danda. Jiva means the soul. Not only is our one's body, mind and activities, or rather thoughts, dedicated to Krishna, body, mind and words, I beg your pardon, dedicated to Krishna, but one's very soul is also dedicated to Krishna completely. So this is the spirit of Tridanda Sannyas. So when Mahaprabhu took the Ekadanda from Keshav Bharati, Prabhupada explains in the purport, in Chaitanya Charitamrita somewhere, that actually he implied that in that one danda, there were these four dandas. Within that Ekadanda were the three dandas and that one Jivadanda. And coming to Vishnu Swami, Srila Prabhupada mentions in another purport that people wrongly think that sannyas in the Vedic tradition started with Adi Shankaracharya and that to take sannyas meant to take jnana sannyas. But he said that is not a fact, because there was Vaishnava sannyas existing far before Shankaracharya, from the time of Vishnu Swami. If my memory serves me right, Shankaracharya was something around 800 AD. And Vishnu Swami was something like 300 BC or something. So that's a good 1,000 years before Shankaracharya. At one place it's mentioned that Vishnu Swami was soon after the beginning of Kali Yuga. Anyway, be that as it may, he was far before Vishnu, before Shankaracharya. And it is Vishnu Swami who started the Vaishnava Sannyas order in recent times. How? He gave 108 names. Ashtotara Shatanami Sannyas. Ashtotara Sata means 108. Nama means sannyas. Nami means one who takes, you know, who has that name. So Ashtotara Shatanami Sannyas means the 108 names of a sannyasi. Shankaracharya accepted 10 of those names. And therefore the Shankara sannyasis are called Dashanami sannyasis. And they have 10 names from which they choose. Ashrama, Tirtha, Aranya, you know, like that. So Vaishnavas also have these names, but they have many more names to choose from. 108. So Vishnu Swami started Vaishnava sannyas far before Shankaracharya did. Srila Prabhupada explains that Vaishnava sannyas predates jnana sannyas in the modern age. But somehow the whole thing was hijacked by the followers of Shankaracharya. So Vaishnava sannyas is very much a bona fide activity, and we see not only in the Gaudiya Sampradaya but also other Vaishnava sampradayas we've had sannyasis. The tradition of Vaishnava sannyas comes amongst the followers of Yamunacharya, Ramanujacharya, and many others after them. In the Madhva Sampradaya, we have a whole line, Madhvacharya, followed by a whole line of sannyasis, and Nimbarkacharya, Vishnu Swami. So Vaishnava sannyas is very much a bona fide phenomenon. Okay, so we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments?